you like good music? Oh yeah. This is Culture Shake Radio. Putting reality back in the mix. Culture Shake Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Culture Shake. This is Cara McDonald, your host. Now, first off, I have to apologise for missing the last couple of weeks here. I have been a little out of sorts, to say the least. And you know what it's like, life gets in the way, personal things get in the way, and it is what it is. So I apologise for that up front here. But we are back, and I have a full show for you today. And first off, we opened the show with a song or a tune that's called Skyboat Song, and that is by Cape Breton fiddler Howie MacDonald and is from the album The Sounds of Nova Scotia Volume 1, which you can catch on iTunes, and you can also get other Howie MacDonald music on iTunes there too. And now Howie has released many albums and a DVD, and he is also a bit of a comedian, so I'm told. And he has also recorded and toured with one of my favourite Canadian Celtic bands, the Rankin Family. I just think they're amazing. So yeah, he's recorded and toured with these guys. And as you know, or may not know, the Skyboat Song has been made more popular, we should say, by the TV series Outlander. And because the Skyboat Song, which is sung on that show, well, it's actually the opening tune for that show from Bear McCreary, and there is a soundtrack for that as well that you can get on iTunes too. So what have I got for you? Well, we have interviews coming up here. Kim chats with Lorne Wolfe, and he's a Calgary author and of the book The Woodcutter. And we also have a free-for-all interview with Jessica Negri, who's a professional cosplay who was at the Expo, Calgary Expo. And I had an amazing short interview conversation, whatever you want to call it, with Graham McTavish, who is Dougal Mackenzie from Outlanders, and Mitch talks with Garth Ennis, and he's the comic book writer of Preacher, and then I have a song from the Pogues, and we'll finish off with Kim's interview with Kyle and Paul from Terra Bulla Inc. I really like that name. So let us go straight into the first interview that Kim has with Lauren Wolfe. So take a listen and we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, I'm at the Calgary Expo and I'm at the Indigo Chapters Coles booth talking with Lauren Wolfe, who is a local author.
Yeah, how you doing?
And so what do you write about?
It's fantasy adventure.
Okay.
And it's for all ages.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and I've just got my book one and two in my trilogy here. Book one's a two-time bestseller, just getting close to that for Canada.
Yeah.
And it's called The Woodcutter. And it's about a woodcutter and his family and all the adventures that they're going through and the trials, tribulations, struggles that families, you know, kind of go through in the fantasy realm.
So how did you get involved in writing fantasy?
Well, I've always loved fantasy, but I'm a singer-songwriter originally. I lived in Nashville for many years and got CDs out and had songs on the radio and all that. But the songwriting, it's a little confining in the style. It's a cool thing. 3 to 4 minutes you tell this kind of story. But, you know, my imagination is just wild, so.
Yeah.
And I've always loved fantasy, so kind of an easy transition into songwriting to book writing.
So who would you say are your fantasy influences, if any?
Well, of course, Tolkien. The Hobbit was the first book I ever read, so I was hooked right from there. I was like, oh, I love this stuff. But anyway, and then I guess probably Terry Goodkind. And then Robert Jordan, when he came out, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then Stephen R. Donaldson, like not a lot of people have heard of him, I don't think, but I've loved him. And just those ones. But I've read pretty much everything back in the day in the fantasy realm.
Do you find it difficult to not contain yourself to the fantasy formula that people say that Tolkien started and you know, Lewis has a little bit of...
Yeah, it doesn't matter what formula there was. Even if there was no writers before me, It always goes to that.
But sure, it's good versus evil.
It always is. And even though I didn't even start with that idea, it just formulated.
Right.
Because it just, that's what happened.
Wonderful.
Basically, as you're writing, it just happens, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool how that is.
So how can people get a hold of your books and get a hold of you if they want to follow you?
Okay, well, I'm online at wolfsongfantasy.com.
Okay.
And then I'm in all the chapters, and I do book signings, and you can follow on my website. I have all my signing dates and that kind of thing. So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. So that was Kim chatting with Lauren Wolfe, author of The Woodcutter. And of course, you can get that online or at Indigo or Chapters. All right, then. So, you know, the Calgary Expo is just an amazing event. Like I said, myself, Kim and Mitch were there over the... Well, not over the weekend. We went one day. That was enough for me. My feet were absolutely killing me by the end of the day. But they had a record-breaking number of attendees with over 102,000 people attended that event. And that's up 5,000 from last year. I mean, holy smokes, where do all these people come from? It's quite the culture, that's for sure. But I thoroughly enjoyed it and it was an eye-opener. Just as well Kim and Mitch were with me because they were trying to fill me in on all sorts of stuff and... you know, there's different food venues, there's different booths, you can see jewellery, you can see all sorts of stuff, comic illustrators, writers, and then of course you've got lots of different celebrities there. They have panels and you can just go and chat with them and get pictures taken with them. It is a different world for sure, but one that you should check out anyway, and go to calgaryexpo.com, and they have released the date for next year actually, which is April the 28th to May the 1st, so I don't know when the tickets go on sale, but check it out online, and you can see lots of pictures and stuff through their Twitter account, through their Facebook and Instagram also, so connect with them online. And I believe they had like 900 volunteers over the 4 days. So it's just amazing, an amazing event. And yeah, so let us just move on from that, and let's go into the interview with Jessica Negri, who is the cosplay professional. Actually, it was a free-for-all interview, so take a listen to that, and I'll be right back.
I'm Kim from Culture Shake, and I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the culture of cosplay.
Culture of cosplay, that is such a broad topic because there's so many different facets of cosplay to cover, but generally it's a rapidly growing culture that is actually taking the world by storm. There's so many like TV shows that are going on. These conventions are massive, they're worldwide. Calgary Expo is at 150,000 attendees this year. That's insane. I remember when I first came, it only had 100 years. That was last year, 100,000 people last year. So it's incredible. I love cosplay, and everyone should do cosplay. Everyone's allowed to do it. I don't know. That's such a broad question.
So why do you do it?
I do it because of the people. Originally, I wanted to be a nurse, and I couldn't stand the sight of blood. So I decided to start dressing up and hanging out with my friends. And then it kind of just turned into a career, which is kind of amazing. And I still do it for the people, because meeting people and seeing how I may positively or negatively affect people's lives is actually pretty cool.
How many costumes do you have?
Oh my gosh. I think...
And do you
I'm
going to
say 100, give or take.
Do you have favorite?
Oh, I really like my Mad Moxie from Borderlands, and then my Umbreon from Pokemon, so...
Yeah. Talk about being tired, costumes falling apart, you have to duct tape it around the shoulders. How do you progress through 4 days of doing this show?
When I first started costuming, I would make all the mistakes in the world on my costumes, and they would fall apart by the second day. I've gotten better at just making sure my costumes fit and work, and they will stay together, and then I call that a victory if nothing falls off by the end of the day. But usually drinking a lot of water, staying hydrated, and getting lots of food, and talking to people, taking lots of breaks. It's good. I usually don't get super tired. I'm pretty good. Energy drinks. It was San Diego Comic-Con, the biggest one in the world, and it was my Pikachu costume, the very first picture or whatever, or costume I did, and it just blew up after that. So I don't know what it's like to attend as just like a regular person, unless I wear like a balaclava. But yeah, I don't know.
Who knew that you could be a professional cosplay actor, eh? I think that's amazing. That was Jessica Negri. And yeah, folks were just throwing the questions at her, so she did quite well. But what do I have to say? First off, I want to thank the Media Desk folks for their amazing support, keeping us right all day and hooking us up with different folks, and also to Alex for her support. She's always an amazing girl. But I want to say thank you for hooking me up with, yeah, the one and only Graham McTavish, who is also known as Dougal McKenzie from the Outlander TV series. I have to say, I was starstruck. And I babbled like an idiot. I think my opening question was, where do you live? I mean, I was just so starstruck and nervous. It was unbelievable that he was standing and I was speaking to him. But it was so cool. Just take a listen to my conversation with him. It's just a brief one, but it definitely was the highlight of the day for me. So go ahead and take a listen to our conversation.
I live now in New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Where there are more McTavishes in New Zealand than there are in Scotland. And the second most McTavishes are here in Canada. So it's we all left a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, my family are from Glasgow. I'm from Glasgow. But New Zealand is my home now after The Hobbit.
Okay. Well, I live in Airdrie here in Alberta. And, of course, there's an Airdrie
Indeed
in
there is.
Scotland. Have you ever visited
Airdrie in Scotland? No, I'd be lying if I said I had. I'm sorry.
Outlander.
Yes.
How is that progressing?
Oh, it's going... I mean, really, we knew it was... I mean, it's based on a very popular series of books. We knew it was going to go well, but we had no idea it was going to be as popular as it seems to have become. It's been sold in 89 countries, and We're about to start filming the second season, and apparently it's done great good for the local economy.
Yeah.
Dune Castle's business is up 30% since we made it Castle Lear. So
what do you think about over in Canada?
It's gratifying to know that people are enjoying it here, and I think because there's such a Scottish contingent here in Canada,
that
it speaks very, very much to them. So
sometimes I think there's more of us here than there is back home.
Well, there are.
Yeah.
There totally are. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it shows that you're very popular with the lineup here. So I don't know if that's for The Hobbit or if it's from.
It's kind of for both.
Is it for both? Yes.
Yep. It's kind of 50-50.
And you played the wee guy in The Hobbit.
The dwarf. The magic of cinema.
How did they do that?
Lots of tricks, but you know, a lot of it was just the way they made us look, so that we had our proportions were larger, so our hands and feet were bigger, the top of our head, so it fooled the eye into seeing you in dwarfish proportions rather than human proportions.
So now the filming is actually done in Scotland for The Outlander?
Yes. It's all in Scotland, yeah. Between Edinburgh and Glasgow is the studio, and then location all over the country.
So is Dougal MacKenzie going to get his lady friend?
I bloody hope so.
You went berserk the other night there.
Well, good God, the man's level of sexual frustration is just off the charts. It's terrible. The poor guy. Yeah, well, he's got through all of them.
And your brother's not very nice to you either.
No, he's got very sore legs, so you have to understand that he's a bit kind of gammy down there. So.
Well, it's a very good show. And,
oh, well, thanks
very much. Enjoying it anyway, thank so you. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I know you've got a big lineup and you should be speaking to your fans. And
not at all.
We very much appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And that was Graham McTavish from Outlander TV series, and he's just a true gentleman, and obviously a fan favourite, because there was fans lined up all over the place just waiting for to meet him, the meet and greet, and he was allowing selfies with him, so I think that says a lot about him. Just a true gent, and it was a pleasure talking with him, so highlight of the show for me for sure. Ah, right then, so moving on from a Scotsman to an Irishman. Up next is the Mitch's interview with Garth Ennis, and Garth is the writer of Preacher, which is a comic book series. I believe the artist for that is Steve Dillon, so let's go and hear what Garth had to say to Mitch.
Hey guys, Mitch with Culture Shake down here at the Calgary Comic Expo, hanging out with Garth Ennis. Garth, how's it going today?
Good, thanks.
Good to hear. So, I'm a big fan of the Preacher comic books. That was the first comic I ever read, and that's what got me into this entire culture. Can you give me a little detail about the history of Preacher?
It was first published in 95, February. I wrote it from, I suppose, the middle of 94 to the middle of 2000, and it finished its run that summer. And it's really been in print ever since, in trade paperbacks and hardcovers, and now it looks as if it's going to be a TV show. There's an AMC project that I think is at least going to go as far as shooting the pilot this May, so fingers crossed on that one.
Awesome, thanks Garth. So another question I have with the Preacher series, it's AMC that's picking that up, is that correct?
That's right, yeah, AMC, Sony.
Awesome. Do you know anything about who's going to be directing it?
I'm not sure about that. I know that the script for the first episode was written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. I know that the showrunner is Sam Catlin. Beyond that, I'm not too sure of the details.
Okay, thank you. So one last question, because he's my favorite character out of everything you've done, Cassidy. Can you give me a little bit behind that?
Where does Cassidy come from? Cassidy, I suppose, is really born of my love of the Pogues and some of their darker, more Rabelaisian songs like Sally MacLennan or The Sickbed of Cahullin. You can kind of imagine Cassidy wandering through the stories that those songs tell.
Yeah.
Preacher's a very American story. Cassidy is the American immigrant, the guy who comes from somewhere else and joins the melting pot.
Absolutely.
He's also ultimately not what he first appears. So the lovable rogue turns out to be somebody else entirely.
Totally.
But yes, he was almost the most successful character right from the beginning. People instantly liked him.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Garth. Have a good day.
You too.
In the pub where I was born, he played it from the night down to the peaceful early morn. He soothed the souls of psychos and the men who had the horn, and they all looked very happy in the morning. But Jimmy didn't like his place in this world of ours, where the elephant man brought storm in his neck, and he had too many powers. So I sad to see the grieving of the people that I'm leaving, and he took the road for God knows in the morning. We walked into the station in the rain. We kissed him as we put him on the train, and we sang him a song. Our time's long gone, though we knew that we'd be seeing him again. Sad to say, I must be on my way, so buy me beer and whiskey, cause I'm going far away. I'd like to think of me returning when I can, to the greatest little boozer and to Sally McLennan. The years went by and twice the change, I grew to be a man. I learned to love the virtues of Sir Sally McLennan. I took the cheers and drank the beers and crawled back home at dawn. I ended up a barman in the morning. I pried the pump and took the hump and watered whiskey down. I took the booze and horses to the men and drank the brown. I heard the sight of Jimmy's making money far away, and some people left for heaven without warning. We walked into the station in the rain. We kissed him as we put him on the train, and we sang them a song. Our time's long gone, though we knew that we'd be seeing them again. Sad to say, I must be on my way, so buy me beer and whiskey, cause I'm going far away. I'd like to think I'll be returning when I can, to the greatest little boozer and to Sally McLennan. When Jimmy came back home, he was surprised that they were gone. He asked me all the details of the train that they went on. Some people they are scared to come, but Jimmy drank until he choked. Took the road for heaven in the morning. We walked him to the station in the rain, and we kissed him as we put him on the train, and we sang him a song. Our time's long gone, though we knew that we'd be seeing him again. Sad to say, I must be on my way, so buy me beer and whiskey, cause I'm going far away. I'd like to think I'll be returning when I can, to the greatest little boozer and to Sally McLennan.
All right, so that was the Pogues with their song Sally McLennan. And that is actually the inspiration, I believe, for Cassidy from The Preacher, and is one of Garth Ennis's favourite bands from London. So yeah, that was awesome. So up next we have one more interview for you, and that is from Kyle and Paul from Terabula Inc. And I will just let you listen to the interview. Kim had a good long chat with them. Very interesting guys, and actually met Paul at Molly Malone's down in Kensington before we went to the late night at the Plaza, which is another thing that's going on in Calgary, which is amazing. And it's every Wednesday night, 10 o'clock at that little theatre down there. So, but take a listen to the interview and I'll be right back.
All right, I'm with Paul and Kyle with Terabula Inc. at Calgary Expo. And tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, what we're doing, or what we're trying to do, is we've been working on writing basically a graphic novel. We've been working on it for several years, and it's finally starting to come together. And it's a really interesting story about, how can we describe it, Paul?
It's kind of like Clash of the Titans meets Inglourious Bastards.
That's a good one.
Awesome.
With a touch of the Untouchables.
Oh.
Little bit of everything kind of thrown in there.
Yeah.
The actual book's probably going to be out in about 6 months. And what we've done this year is we've taken the story, the entire story, and we've condensed it into a poem. So kind of like a story poem that tells the whole story. And we've matched that with the original art that will be in the story. And that's kind of what we're selling as our main product. It's called A Warrior Rides On. And it's an introduction to The Shadows of the Ages, which is the title of the actual book.
So what inspired you to take this mashup of I'm assuming Greek mythology with the
rats. It is a Greek
and with
mythology.
Nazis.
Yeah, Nazis are in there. Yes.
Oh, well, they were all into mythology, so I guess I can understand
it
that.
Fits.
We kind of had that sort of semblance when we went into it.
Yeah.
But what I think what really kind of kicked it off, we worked together several years ago. And when we went, and he's a big Star Trek fan, and
nice.
I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Nice. Equally good. I like them both.
Yeah.
But hang on.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's where the story
there's
gets.
More.
There's more. Yeah.
When we went to see the new Star Trek movie, the first remake.
Yeah.
The first, yeah.
I have Deadpool, yeah. And I have Star Wars.
In 2009, we both walked away feeling... ripped off, cheated.
How did I feel? How did I sound?
He was angry. I've never
angry.
Really...
Was it because of the whole Vulcan thing?
You know what I mean, in my opinion, because I grew up with Star Trek, and
yeah.
I'm like a Star Trek purist. And
the
I
original or TNG?
Oh.
Okay.
Everything. And I always appreciated the intelligence behind it. I appreciated the subtleties, how it made you think. It wasn't just laser guns and explosions.
Yeah.
And the new movie, I think, it would have been a really, really good sci-fi action movie. Absolutely. It wasn't a poorly done movie. It's just, to me, that was not Star Trek. Budweiser advertising.
We didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah, they had Budweiser in there. Of course. Can't have...
Oh, yeah, right, when he's driving
the
car.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
It just kind of, I don't know.
And the whole thing, the one thing that really got me was, like, Spock. Oh, like, when he basically said, you know, oh, well, you guys, we had our own adventures. This is a whole other timeline. You guys can have your adventure. So basically,
yeah.
It's as if he'd like written
like
off and by Spock himself, like wrote off everything that he did for a new generation, which I get, but still, it was just like...
Which is why Shatner was so against it.
Well, that says a lot.
You know? Yeah.
See, the thing is, they said that we're going to make Star Trek cool again, but I tell you something.
It was always cool.
No, that's the thing. I grew up with Star Trek. I was never cool.
No.
All right? My Spock t-shirt
cool.
Never made... Well, no, like we were cool in our cool way, you know? All right, but it wasn't something like mainstream cool, like you know. So it seemed like a kick in the teeth, but we thought to ourselves
uh-oh.
After.
What about Star Wars now?
Well, we'll give him a chance on that one.
Yeah.
We thought to ourselves after seeing the movie, you know, if somebody like J.J. Abrams can take this pure piece of pop culture and just butcher it to his liking, why couldn't we do that? For example, what would happen if we took Greek, let's make Hitler an enemy of the Greek gods, and we're laughing about
sure
it.
He would have been.
Well, he probably would have. Everyone would have been, but we're just laughing about it as a joke, but then we started thinking, you know what, if we took this seriously and actually developed it, there might actually be a good story here, and there was. So
and
that's
just
kind of
with some of the sort of like role-playing and sketches that we were pulling together, like if you were to recast Clash of the Titans, you know what I mean?
Like they did in 2009?
Who would play Zeus? Who would play Hercules?
So we just kind of came up with that, and then after just sort of joking about it and just kind of telling ourselves these stories, it was just like after a while we realized we actually kind of had something, and then just started, you know, putting together scenes and...
Looking at the universe that we wanted to create, not just a two-dimensional battle story, but let's make a universe out of this, and let's make real characters with real issues. They're deeper. They have something to say. There's subtleties, commentary, you know, satire about greater society, and it just took off. And
a little bit of whiskey helped, too.
But, oh, sure.
But that always helps.
It helped Hemingway, right?
Helped us yesterday, for crying
out loud. Was it right drunk, edit sober?
Well, you write drunk, and then you edit sober.
Yeah.
And it works out really well.
Yeah.
You know?
So the Greek gods are the protagonists?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we'd have an issue if you had the Nazis as the protagonists.
Yeah. Let's be very clear about this. The Nazis are the bad guys in this. One of the bad guys, anyway. Al Capone's also in it.
So is there elements of Indiana Jones as well with, you know, the archaeology, the history of it all?
We do expand the universe in terms of it having, like, levels of gods, but the others are subservient to others.
Okay.
There is, you know...
There's a mythological framework that puts it all together, even a theological framework as well, as to how the sort of the order of the cosmos is structured, you know, based on... A lot of the inspiration came from, like, Eastern religion.
Okay.
So for me, specifically, like, Jainism, maybe Taoism, things like elements of that. So it's much, much bigger than it started out as.
Which tends to be the case.
Yeah.
So would you, and are you mixing different mythos together? So do you have the Roman, well, Roman and Greek are essentially the same with minor differences, but Egyptian,
for later,
Vikings.
Vikings are in the story.
Vikings are actually in this
Inuit
story.
Mythology.
Inuit mythology.
Inuit mythology comes out as being a higher level of life.
And also some time travel, so we do have like people from the future
and the past,
and like,
the present
and contemporary. Ooh. So and they're all kind of bouncing around.
So it's just a wibbly wobbly kind of thing too, huh?
Sort of, yeah. And I mean,
timey wimey.
Timey wimey.
A little bit, yeah. And you know, basically, the order of time has been twisted
awesome.
And sent into peril.
This is selling it to me so much right now.
Cool.
So
yeah.
How can people follow along with this journey, because you said there's about 6 more months that we have to wait with bated breath.
Yeah.
Well, ideally, that was
with
sort of
bated breath.
Yeah.
How can right now we have the sort of the poetic introduction,
sure,
which is available at the Comic-Con.
Elsewhere,
we could provide it. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Terra Bulla Inc.
Cool.
You can find us.
Ink
and
as in...
I-N-K?
Yes.
Yeah, not incorporated.
Yeah.
That may well happen.
That may change one day.
Yeah.
But.
Terra Bulla Inc. Inc.
Terra Bulla Inc. Inc.
Yeah.
Why not?
You gotta dream big, guys.
Exactly. So if people want copies of things, they can certainly get in touch with us.
Awesome.
We've been collaborating with artists from Ink Smashed Artists.
Yeah.
One of them standing behind me right now. And we wouldn't have ever been able to get even remotely this far without them. And they're
absolutely
extremely wonderful and wonderfully talented people.
Well, I can't wait to, 6 months seems like a really long time, but I'm sure it'll fly by for you guys. So hopefully it'll translate to here.
Well, I mean, considering that we didn't even have this table 2 months ago and it all kind of just came up in an email, we were on a waiting list, all this sort of came together.
It kind of
very
rapidly, affirmation to what you're doing, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely does. You know, this is kind of a pleasant surprise for sure.
Yeah.
It all came about really quickly, organically.
Yep.
It's a great feeling when somebody that isn't your friend and or family member decides to buy something that you put your life into.
Absolutely.
And they actually like it, right? So
absolutely.
It feels really good.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I'm sure at the Culture Shake we'll be following along and glad to shout it from the mountaintops that you finally got it released. So thank you for your time.
Thank you
so much.
Well, that is it from me. Such an amazing day Saturday was, and so much creativity in Calgary and area. I tell you, there's lots of smart folks out there anyway, but it was definitely an interesting day. So kudos to the organisers of the Calgary Expo. And again, check it out. It's going to be April 28th to May the 1st next year. CalgaryExpo.com. But that is it from me. So this is Karen McDonald from Culture Shake, and I hope you all have a great weekend. So take care.